Welcome, Behind the Numbers. Tyson Banker with you, Bench Clear Media. Had a nice little break there, just hanging out with the Bench Clear team in Missoula. Was awesome. You guys hopefully check out that content on our YouTube channel. It was a great time hanging out with the gang for the first time all in person. It's fun to make those online friendships that you get together and yeah, everything's what you thought it would be, which is great because it could go the other way sometimes. But all those guys were great. Had an awesome time. Found some great deals. I'll show you. I'm going to talk about some of the buys I had in Missoula today. We're talking about some of the offseason movement we've seen in regards to football. I think it's a pretty crazy time right now for football. It's one of the craziest offseasons in terms of trades and all the things we've seen so far. It's been a lot to digest in terms of how we're going to adjust kind of our approach going into the next season. And then we also have the product update. We got to talk about Prism, how that keeps getting pushed back. It's always back all the way back into May now. And we'll kind of talk about some releases that are coming around the corner and how we'll adjust for that. But with that, I just want to get into the headlines. And just first off, just appreciate you guys just coming back. Check out the show. Again, off season's a bit slower. I have a lot of baseball content coming up. I'm going to have a rookie report for baseball coming out hopefully this week with Ty. And then I'm going to have a prospect list in terms of values of top 100 prospects for Bowman specifically with Rob Kent, who I team up with the flagship rookie podcast with. So definitely check out those things in the offseason. Try to mix it up a little bit and try to get a little bit more to my core behind the numbers when it comes to baseball and football kind of going forward. Something I just like to do. The research of that is just fun for me, and I'll continue to do that and bring that to you guys because that's my strength. So again, thanks for being with me today. So I'm going to go through the headlines. In terms of what we've seen since last time we chatted, a lot's to happen since we chatted. We'll probably review stuff we already talked about and just kind of how that will adjust with that. But Watson to the Browns is one of the big ones. That one kind of broke right after the show. What does that mean? You know, Baker still there. They haven't been able to trade him. There's really no interest for him. Going to be very interested to see what happens there. Does that light a fire in Baker and gets him going? He's been battling injuries. Very kind of a rough deal for him, but same time, there hasn't been a lot of interest in him either. So I'm gonna, at this point, I'm not sure if he'll be a starter next year. So really interesting development with Watson go to the Browns. So we'll kind of go through kind of what I think about that later. Diggs stays in Buffalo, which is big for Josh Allen. Keeps his number one receiver. They also brought in Von Miller, kind of gearing up the Bills to make a run. I know Von's kind of past his prime, but still a good veteran to come in there and help your team get to that next level potentially. I mean, he got helped the Rams get there a little bit, got a championship with them. Hopefully, he can kind of shine that off with the Bills as well for Josh Allen's sake and Josh Allen's cards. Miami and Tyreek land Tyreek from KC with a lot of draft picks. Really bolsters the offense for Tua. They got Jalen Waddle now. You got Tyreek. They kept Gesicki. The running back position is a little bit light for them right now. And they also signed Teddy Bridgewater for insurance for Tua as well. So just a lot of moving parts of Miami. They're really putting a lot around Tua. They're putting on Tua to perform. So it's, you know, a little bit of a buy opportunity for Tua. If you think he can come through, he has the weapons. He has the stuff around him. It'd be interesting to see if he can take that step or if this is the one year that he doesn't. And it's going to be kind of Tua's career can't be over, but just in terms of the hobby, it could be. They also added Cedric Wilson. Being a Dallas fan, he was very dynamic for Dallas. I really appreciate what he does, a late draft pick, and kind of came in and was a really good receiver three for Dallas. I think he could be a really nice add for them as well. Also, we got, you know, Bengals bolster the O-line with Kappa and Leo Collins, two pretty good O-linemen. Collins from Dallas kind of tailed off a little bit last couple years. Collins has been still solid, better than what they had, and Kappa's really good. So it's really nice the Bengals already kind of addressed that need and they kind of go in the draft and maybe hit it some more or really just continue to build that team around Burrow. They're in a really good position in terms of their draft picks and what they've done free agency to keep that team very competitive to what it was last year. So really excited about that as a Burrow collector. I did pick up a nice Burrow in the show that I'll talk to you about here in a little bit. Brandon Cook stays in Houston. I know that's not huge for the hobby, but it is huge in the sense that everything indicates that Houston's going to give Mills a shot. They haven't really done much to even backup wise to, you know, get a Dalton or to get a Bridgewater. They're kind of going with Mills unless, you know, they do take a quarterback in the draft, which I don't see them doing that high where they're at. Maybe a second or third round pick guy, but at the same time, it just really seems like they're saying, hey, Mills, we're going to give you a chance. You showed some good things down the stretch last year. So he's a good buy right now. He's still pretty relatively cheap and mosaic for now, but overall, I think that it's interesting to pay attention to that. The Texans have not done anything to make us think they're going to go any other way than Mills. We have Matt Ryan, the Colts, pretty big. You know, I kind of asked myself this question, is Matt Ryan the best quarterback they've had in the last 3 years? I think he is. I think Phillip Rivers was just at the end of his career, just kind of wasn't there. And I think Matt Ryan's in a similar spot, but I don't think he's kind of past I think he still has the arm zip. I still think he can get the ball around. He didn't have much help last year, you know, with Ridley, you know, having his issues, didn't really have a lot of weapons besides Pitts. So I do think Matt Ryan steps into a really good situation where they could win. It's just a really tough AFC. So it's not, I don't really see Matt Ryan and the Colts, you know, going to a Super Bowl or anything like that. I think there's just too many other teams that could beat them on any given day that they, I just don't think he's going to be that elevated guy in the Mahomes, the Burrows, the different, the Russell Wilsons now of the AFC that are going to, the Colts can handle that. It's good though for Jonathan Taylor. I think Jonathan Taylor in the regular season will be very strong for the Colts. They're still in a relatively weak division. So I still think you're going to see a lot of production from Jonathan Taylor. And I think it's great for Michael Pittman as well. KC gets tons of draft picks like we talked about. So it's really interesting to see how they build after shipping off Tyreek. They have a ton of draft picks in the draft. So what they do with that will be interesting. They brought in Juju Smith-Schuster from Pitt. He's kind of slowly declined in terms of production in Pitt. Some of it could be quarterback play. Some of it can just be him not as explosive as he was. Either way, maybe a rebirth. He could be a guy that could be nice for Mahomes, but obviously a very different receiver than Tyreek. He's more of a possession receiver, an over-the-middle guy, not a speedster, nothing close to what Tyreek does. So it would be interesting to see how they adjust that. Jags both have bolstered the O-line. They added Scherf. They kept Cam Thomas, and they added receivers to help Lawrence with Kirk's day and then also Evan Ingram. All those receivers are kind of mediocre at best. I think pretty kind of overpaid. Christian Kirk, we talked about in the last show. Ingram's always been a talented tight end. Just he has a tough time catching the ball, which is kind of a big part of being a successful tight end. But the point is, I think it's nice to see the Jags trying to get things around him. Whether they pick the right guys or not, I think that's to be determined. But they also have their number one overall pick if they go defense or will they go O-line a little bit more. I'm kind of hoping for O-line selfishly because I just want Lawrence to have the best core five guys in front of him. But if they do go with Hutchinson or another type of leader like that that can help their defense, it would probably still help Lawrence in some way. Raiders get Adams back with his buddy Carr. Does it help Carr thrive with elite receiver one? I mean, Carr hasn't had elite receiver one since he's been there, really. I mean, Renfro's been great. They've had kind of hits and misses here. That Cooper, but they really, him and Cooper kind of hit and miss in terms of how well they did together. So does this help Carr kind of maybe get to another level where the Raiders can be even more competitive? They surprised people last year. Can Carr take Adams and they, can they make a run? It's a tough division. I wouldn't bet on it. It's interesting to see that that's where Adams decided he wanted to go. Wentz to Washington. Is he even an upgraded Taylor Heinicke? I'm not sure. Wentz is definitely off the shelf in terms of hobby value. Not much to talk about with this in general, other than we might actually see if Wentz is just a backup quarterback now. Mariota signing in Atlanta is very interesting. It looks like with Matt Ryan gone, very strong opportunity for him to start. They still could take a shot in a quarterback in the second or third round in the draft. But you know, it's interesting. Mariota's been very strong for the Raiders. They've tried to get him in packages as much as they can, with Carr being the guy. So I think it's kind of important to notice that they still felt he deserved some snaps. A lot of teams don't do that. So I do think it's a nice little opportunity for Mariota to rebirth his career, see if he can in Atlanta. And I mean, it's a tough team. There's not a lot of talent there right now, but hopefully with the draft, they can kind of build upon that. But very interesting for Mariota. Definitely be paying attention to that. Winston re-signed with the Saints along with Dalton as insurance. And then Allen Robinson to the Rams is very interesting. I think it hurts Fields quite a bit, which we'll get to. But it's a nice receiver one with Cup. Almost like two receiver ones with him and Cup on the other side since the Rams shipped off Robert Woods after his ACL injury. I think A-Rob's very undervalued. I've kind of said that for about 2 years in the show. He just kind of had a tough rap in terms of quarterback play. And when he is producing, nobody's really noticing. But A-Rob's a very good land for the Rams. I could see them being very, very fun team again next year. Just kind of went through and made a list of like hobby relevant winners and losers when it comes to free agent trade market, what we've seen so far in the NFL. I got three winners. I got Marcus Mariota. I think he's a winner in terms of his card value. He's a starting quarterback. He could, you know, again, rebirth his career to the point where it gets him a little bit of relevance. I don't think he's going to be ever in that top tier, you know, like when he came out, how everybody was really impressed with what he did his first year and a half. But at the same time, his stuff is dirt cheap right now, so why not take a chance if you think Mariota can make a little run there in terms of making his career, kind of shine his career up a little bit. Derek Carr, I just put him against, you know, he gets Adams. Could that help him? Kind of, he's been kind of right in that fringe level for a long time. Can he kind of step into that next level if he can keep, you know, Las Vegas at the top of that division somehow? Again, very strong roster around them, a lot of talent around them. I think that they are stronger than people think, but at the end of the day, I still think there's three better quarterbacks in that division. But still, win for him getting Adams. And then Joe Burrow and Cincinnati, like I said, they bolstered the O-line. They have nice draft capital. They're going to be able to add some nice pieces in the draft and continue to build that team. And they're in a really good position to win now. And I don't see how Burrow and the Bengals aren't a competitive team next year for the Super Bowl out of the AFC. The losers from free agent trade and signings, Aaron Rodgers, the team was already skinny with receivers and they lost their best one. It's really slim pickings. They even lost some of their Scantling's gone. Like, they've really lost a lot of options there. I'm not sure what they're going to do. They do have some good draft picks that they recoup with Adams, so they can attack the receiver with the draft. But coming in, hoping rookie receivers are going to carry your team is definitely, hard to expect when it comes to the NFL. So definitely, I think Rodgers, it's going to be a tough year in terms of what he can do without Adams. Baker Mayfield, he's obviously a big loser right now. Browns sold the farm to get Watson when they have a number one overall quarterback on their team. And then nobody's even calling for low picks to get him. So it's a very tough on any Baker Mayfield stock when it comes to what we have out of 2018. Justin Fields. I've been a big Justin Fields fan. I've been trying to get a couple of his cards here and there before a lot of free agent trades and moves. But the Bears did nothing to help him in free agency, and they have no draft picks. They used them all to get him last year, and they lost A-Rob. I really struggle with what that team's going to do for him to help him be supported and not ask him to do too much. So right now, I'm not feeling good about Fields' position. In terms of the team and, having a new regime come in, not a lot of tools for him to work with. I'm pretty concerned about Fields for next year. And then Mahomes, I think that one of Mahomes, the thing that gets a lot of fans into what Mahomes does is his ability to throw the ball deep, hit Tyreek on those bombs and Tyreek to stretch the field vertically and also make short, quick hits into long gains for Mahomes stats. With that gone, it's going to be a huge shift in that offense, and I am really interested to see how KC manages that, because Tyreek's effect on that offense is, I think, more important than most people realize. And so I really think Mahomes is a loser in this, because it's going to have to change how he does things. Like, he, scrambling around and just hucking it deep, Tyreek is not a play anymore. That's not going to be something they can do. So trying to figure out how Mahomes adjusts his game, not saying he won't, but I do think overall losing your number one receiver makes him a loser as for now. But KC has a lot of draft capital and they were going to run into cap issues anyways. So it's kind of a necessary move, but we will see how Mahomes' offense looks after. So I want to do, before I jump into the product, I'm just going to run through real quick. This is going to be an audio only show. So I will put on Twitter pictures of my buys from Missoula. Again, this is a couple weeks ago with the Bench Clear team. So the first one I'm going to start off, I did get a Joe Burrow Purple Shock Optic Rookie. Picked that one up. Very nicely centered. It's a really cool card. I love the Purple Shocks. They look nice. Just a little cheap one here. Zach Wilson Blue Paper Donruss. I got a Trey Lance Green and Red Optic. Okay, got that in a trade. Joey Galloway Auto. I was a big Joey Galloway fan growing up. Actually, my first NFL game, he had an 89-yard punt return for a touchdown against the Giants. I remember that game. I was living in Seattle at the time. So always a good memory that's that nostalgia piece for me that I bought that because I like Joey Galloway. Picked up Randy Moss's Topps rookie. Picked up Red Hot rookie of Trevor Lawrence, Adonis. Upper Deck Calvin Johnson rookie. I'll save this one for last because it was my buy for the $100 challenge. Emmitt Smith Select Certified. Just a cool gold card. I had this card when I was younger, so it was definitely a nostalgia thing. And same thing with this Ultra Star 94 Fleer Ultra Jerry Rice, kind of the junk wax era cards, but definitely just cool looking cards, fun to pick up for a couple bucks. Trevor Lawrence Orange Reactive Mosaic, Tony Gonzalez Fleer Showcase Rookie, a couple more here. Russell Wilson Topps Rookie, okay, so got that. Adrian Peterson Topps Rookie. Emmitt Smith Fleer rookie. And lastly, I got my first SGC slab buy, which I think is kind of a sneaky deal. I got a Calvin Johnson SGC 10 Bowman Chrome rookie. Really excited about that. I think SGC 10s are just going to be fun. Well, not even fun, just a really good value in terms of grade because they're pretty hard to get. So getting an SGC 10, under you know, PSA 10, I think that's going to get closer and closer over time with what SGC is doing. I really like what they're doing. And if you didn't see on my $100 challenge with Ty, Mike, and Matt, I went all in for my $100 on a Jerry Jeudy optic teal out of 99, rookie auto. Judy's one of my big buys, which we'll get into in a little bit. I just feel the potential for that card to grow. You have Justin Jefferson and you have CD Lamb. Both of those cards raw for them are about $250. I got that for about like $100. So I just think that if he comes in with Wilson, they jive well, has a really nice year. I can see that being easily $250, and I'm going to send it off to get grading here this week as well. So I really like the opportunity there. So let's get to the product update. So again, like I mentioned earlier, so Prism got pushed back to May 11th. Remember, it's 5 months late from previous year. Previous year was right around December release. It's just concerning for the product. You know, you have the draft coming with new rookies being drafted, and we haven't got it on our main flagship product for football. I really don't like it. I think that's just unfortunate for the product. It's going to, I think, hinder the product's momentum a bit. So I'm not happy with that. Some other interesting things is that as of right now, it says Panini Select comes out on the same day, which I think I'm sure that's going to change. But then also it says that Panini Prism Draft Picks comes out on the same day for 2022. I also think that's probably going to change. But they will want to get Panini Prism Draft Picks out pretty close to the draft because they do that every year. So it's going to be really interesting to see. We're getting 2022, the first look at, you know, those college branded rookie cards of the new guys, and we haven't got the main flagship of last year's guys yet. So just really all jumbled up right now is my point. Kind of waver through that. Just kind of be patient. I do think you might have some opportunity to get some good steals, but I do think it's going to come out pretty high. And with how late it is, I think it's going to be pretty tough to move. I think breaks are going to be slow when it comes to 2021 Prism out of the gate, especially if it's the number I'm thinking it's going to be in terms of price point. A couple other releases there. We just had Panini encased come out in 413. It's a pretty smooth product. I think that one gets overlooked quite a bit because it's just, you just basically get one encased, you know, possible auto. But they are nice on-card auto. They are pre-graded. They do kind of hold good value. Herbert stuff does pretty well in 2020. So they're not a bad option. But obviously it's not really like a break product. It's more of a personal product. You can break it. It's just tougher with the small amount of cards. And then you have Phoenix comes out this week on the 22nd, and Panini 1 comes out next week, right on the day before the draft on the 27th. Okay, so that's kind of our product update. So I'm just going to go through real quick off-season buy and sells, kind of how I've adjusted a bit from the free agent news. And then we'll finish up today with kind of five things I'm looking at for the draft. I will have a draft show for you probably after the first round and after the second and third round where we see the receivers and running backs go. I like to kind of give you guys a rundown of how I think the fit works hobby-wise. So I will do those on Thursday night and Friday night with quick little hits for you around the draft. So off-season buy and sell. So again, I just talked about my Jerry Jeudy buy. I came through, true to my word, bought a nice Jerry Jeudy card. Again, Wilson arriving, I think it's big for him. I think him and Javonta and Wilson are all just great guys to buy. I think that Broncos team looks really, really good. They're a tough division, so anything can happen. But I do think that they've been struggling to find that quarterback for Denver for the last few years that can kind of get the ball to some of those nice receivers they have. And I think they finally found it. So I'm excited to see what Jeudy and Wilson can do together. I'm really surprised. Jerry Jeudy, his optic holo dirt cheap, $1. I saw an eBay sell for $1. Blue scope optic for Jeudy, $6. Red ice prism out of prism for $15. So basically Judy's super cheap, really low risk, a lot of upside to kind of get that receiver bump to kind of, if he can be a nice fantasy producer and put some stats of Wilson. But I was getting into a second ago was that Matthew Stafford is down. I don't know how he's down. He won the Super Bowl. They got another nice receiver for him. If Aaron Donald comes back, this team's poised to repeat. And that would be huge for his value, getting a second championship. His $600 was his last Topps Chrome PSA 10 sale, and it was the end of March. And that's one of his lows. Like, it was over $1,200, $1,300, $1,400 right on the Super Bowl when they won Super Bowl. It's down, you know, almost 50%. So really good buy opportunity there, because I just think that that team is poised to be very competitive again. And if they do get a second one, that could be massive for his career and just his overall value. So, and they're very low pop for the Topps Chrome when it comes to Stafford. I just think Joe Burrow, I have on here again, true to my word, I bought one of those at the show as well. I just think Bengals are in great position to be a tough team for the next couple of years. They have great draft capital. They're attacking free agency in the right way to help fill holes they need to fill. And they're not really overextending themselves money-wise. I just think that Burrow showed what he could do last year, taking down Mahomes and KC. I just think this team with Chase and everything they have working, I think they're going to be a very tough out for any AFC team. And Burrow's just kind of has it. He's just a very fun player to watch, very fun player to root for. And I'm excited to see what they do next year. And I like how the team is building. Some sells, guys, that I'm really concerned with. I think sell Deshaun Watson. I think that the thing that people are ignoring is everybody's excited about the idea of Deshaun Watson, but missing football for a year is not a small thing. I'm sure he was working out. I'm sure he's probably in great shape, but seeing the field, seeing the reads, having your rhythm as a quarterback is a very important skill, and kind of fluidity of being a quarterback is important. And I think that that's going to take him a bit. He's going to be a bit rusty. And don't forget, the Browns are a team that, I know it was because of Baker, you could say, but they're kind of a run first team with the scheme they run with Stefanski and through Nick Chubb. So I just think that people need to pump the brakes in terms of their excitement for Deshaun Watson. I'm not saying he's going to fail. I just don't think it's going to be what they think. And I don't like that he's priced right now right around Josh Allen's pricing. I think that Josh Allen's a superior quarterback in terms of what he's shown and in a better position to actually win a championship than Watson is. Watson's had a lot of talent around him besides Cooper and Chubb. That's nice, good running back receiver. But after Cooper, the shelf gets thin pretty quickly. And Cooper's had his kind of injury issues and different things through his time in Dallas and Oakland. So pump the brakes on Watson. I'd be selling him. I did sell one of my better Watsons at the Missoula show, a lime green optic. I'm really worried about Aaron Rodgers. I would probably be selling him. It's hard to doubt him as a talent. I mean, he's been multiple MVPs. He is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I think I'm pretty safe saying that in terms of talent. I just think this year might be a dud. So it might be a good time to sell now and kind of buy the dip, because I think I'm just worried that right now he got his money and they have nothing around him to support him. And, they got a couple good running backs, no receivers. Their O-line's okay. It's getting a little bit aged. But overall, I'm just worried about Aaron Rodgers kind of, is he still in it? Is he still trying to win it? Or is he just kind of trying to get paid and kind of finish out his career? But all in all, I do see it being a tough year for him in Green Bay, unless they have a really nice rookie class that comes in and produces right away. But I still think it has sell for him. And then Justin Fields, again, I would be selling. Kind of that preseason hype. I think it's going to be a real rough year for Chicago. I think that division isn't extremely strong. Like I said, Green Bay might struggle. The Vikings are kind of always right in the middle tier, and the Lions aren't kind of there yet. So there's a chance it could be okay. But all in all, he doesn't have any pieces. I'm really worried about him and who he's going to throw the football to be honest. So that's kind of my quick buy and sells after free agency. Five things I'm going to watch for the draft that are relevant to us in the hobby. Like, who do the Jags take at one to help Lawrence? Are they going to help him on the offensive line or defensive line on the other side? I'm again hoping for offensive line. I do would like to see them add maybe a potential another receiver at the top of round one. But we'll just be interested to see what the Jags do basically to support Lawrence. Who takes a QB and when? I mean, we have a lot of really odd situations. With Seattle have multiple picks now. The Eagles still have multiple picks, even though they gave some to the Saints, who have multiple picks. A lot of teams in weird positions. Pittsburgh's pretty far back, but they've been kind of eyeing a quarterback. Who reaches for Malik Willis? Does somebody reach for him based on just projection? Because he's a big, running, strong-armed quarterback that's raw. There's just so many interesting pieces that could fall in terms of that quarterback landscape. In a relatively weak quarterback class, but some teams that are kind of built to win if they get a guy that can produce. That's why some teams might gravitate towards Pickett over Malik Willis, because Malik Willis may not be ready as fast as Pickett in terms of accuracy and pushing the ball down the field. So very interested to see where the quarterbacks land. Again, like I kind of mentioned, what does Seattle and Pitt do? I think they're kind of more intriguing franchise in terms of quarterback play. You have Big Ben retiring and Russell Wilson being shipped out. How do those franchises have had a stable quarterback for 20 years for Pittsburgh and almost over a decade for Russell Wilson? What do they do from there? It's a very big change in the guard in terms of the franchise. So I'm interested to see how Seattle and Pitt attack the draft and what they do with quarterback. Can Packers and Chiefs get enough to feel good about dealing away their receiver one? So the Packers have two first-round picks. Kansas City has two first-round picks now. How do those teams adjust to shipping off the receiver ones and kind of maximizing their value? I think there's some smart play to what they did in terms of getting good value for those guys as they're at the peak or coming off the peak of their career. But it's all going to be about what they get to help them succeed. Because at the end of the day, it's can you win a Super Bowl with what you have? And then kind of the last two things, I'd say, does Baker get traded? And where does Jimmy Garoppolo go? I think those are kind of some moving parts that could happen on draft day. pay attention to, because they affect the QB landscape as well. You know, if Garoppolo hits Pittsburgh, I think that gives him a nice little chance for some hobby love, because they have a lot of pieces in place, receivers, running backs. They're kind of a team built to win. They've kind of struggled with Big Ben lately. So I'm not sure how much Jimmy's an upgrade, but he still could help that team be pretty competitive. So, but all in all, guys, it's been a fast and furious offseason. Again, appreciate you guys being with me. Don't forget to follow me at numbers_behind. Rate and review the show. Let me know what you think. And I will have some baseball content coming out for you in the next couple of days. You guys take care. Appreciate it.